As we begin this morning, I want to make a couple of statements by means of, I don't know whether you want to call it disclaimer or introduction or what. I've been thinking about and praying about and studying about this sermon for probably the last month. It's one that I've come to feel very strongly about, and it's one that I feel is very important to us both individually and collectively. I appreciate very much our visitors being here. You will recognize right off the bat, for those who are here regularly, that this is not going to be my normal style of sermon, but I think it's a very important one. I'm going to be spending today speaking directly to the members of this congregation, both on a personal and on a congregational basis. And I believe that there are a lot of things that we can talk about today and that we will be talking about today that are going to be very important, that are going to be and can be very beneficial for us as we enter into this new year. Because this morning I want us to discuss focusing our efforts in 2012. As we begin our study this morning, we all recognize the need to grow both congregationally and individually. And I know that it is something that is understood and it is something that is recognized in this congregation because many of you have spoken to me about it and we've talked about it in various ways and at various times. And so it's an understood fact that we need to grow. We need to grow individually. But we also need to be ones who are looking to and are striving to grow as a congregation as well. Because of that, we need to understand something. And that is that wanting to grow and being willing to do what is necessary to grow are not the same thing. That it is one thing to say that we want to grow, that we want to become stronger Christians, that we want to be ones who have a larger congregation and larger numbers and that we are able to have a greater impact on our community and in our world. But that just saying those words doesn't mean anything. The question then becomes, what are we going to do to help fulfill what those desires are and what those needs are? If there's one thing that I've learned in my own life, and as you go through and you read various pieces of history and various other things, and even just looking at man in general, we find that man always works more effectively when methods of challenges and goals are in place. If you have an individual who doesn't have a goal, who hasn't set any challenges for themselves in their life, they're generally not going to go very far. Because individuals do not progress and they do not grow and they do not move forward accidentally. It is something that is intentional, and yet it is always something that requires focus. And so whenever you're dealing with individuals on an individual basis or on a collective basis, such as we have with our congregation, it's going to require a focus of energy and a focus of direction in order for us to be able to reach those goals, to accept and to fulfill those challenges. This morning, as we consider the topic of focusing our efforts in 2012, I want to submit to you three challenges, three goals for the coming year that I believe are both necessary and are ones that will be helpful if we are willing to take them up. Now, there may be some who look at the things that I'm about to say and say, well, that's just silly. It's not that important. It's not going to make that big of a difference. Well, we're going to try to talk about that a little bit this morning. But, you know, as one speaker said on one particular occasion, friends, brethren, countrymen, lend me your ears. I need you to listen this morning. And I need you to listen not just with your ears, but I need you to listen with your heart and with your mind as well. Think about the things that we're about to discuss. When we talk of growth, growth can be broken down into three different areas, and each one of these challenges is intended and is designed to focus us in one of those areas when it comes to our spiritual growth. So as we look at focusing our efforts this morning, I want us to first look at growing personally. What are some things that we can do, and what are some challenges that we can make to ourselves to ensure that we personally, on an individual basis, grow this year? When you go through and you examine the Scriptures, you find that Christians must continue to grow in their knowledge and in their understanding of God's Word and in the way that they use it and they implement it in their lives. Otherwise, they're going to fail and they're going to start to fade instead of continuing to move forward. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 15, and he would say, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now that word study doesn't just mean open up a book and read, but it literally means from the Greek language, give diligence. That we are to be ones who are diligently working to show ourselves to be approved, to be acceptable before God. And yet we do that by rightly dividing the word of truth, by understanding what God says and then putting it into practice in our lives. The Apostle Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Young Christians are ones who need to grow. They need to continue forward. And in order to do that, they have to get into the milk of the Word. But friends, let's be honest. If you go back and you read Hebrews chapter 5, you find there Christians that are older Christians now. They've been in the church for a while, but they're still sipping on milk instead of eating the meat. Christians still need to continue to grow. Even once they understand the milk of the Word, they need to start digging in deeper and getting into the meat of the Word, letting their understanding and their knowledge continue to deepen and that wisdom to grow and that understanding to implement God's Word even more effectively. We never reach a time in our lives where knowing more about God's Word and understanding what God would have us to do and studying what He has given us is no longer important. Peter's final statement to those to whom he was writing in the book of 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, was, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We need to be ones who are constantly focused on our own personal, individual growth. In order to do that, or maybe in order to help with that, the challenge in focusing our personal growth this year that I would like you to take up is this. I'd like you to devote yourself to 20 minutes of study of God's Word every day. Now somebody says, "I'm already doing that." Great, don't stop. If you're not already doing that, I want you to commit right here today to start to study your Bible 20 minutes every day. And somebody says, "Well, that doesn't sound like much." Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. 20 minutes a day. You'd be amazed at the things that you can learn, the things that you can study, and the things that you can pick up in 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever may be comfortable for you. But bare minimum, 20 minutes a day. But I also want you to do something else. Out there on the table by the door in the back, there are about 40 of these little composition books. I'd like to see every one of you pick one up on your way home today. And to keep a daily journal of your studies. Write down in there on each day, write down what you studied. Write down where it came from. And then write down one thing that you learned, one thing that you want to remember, maybe one question that you had out of the things that you read and studied that day. I want you to do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, any of you who have spent time as school teachers or as teachers of any time recognize you remember more when you start writing it down. It could be anything down to a grocery list, but we remember more when we write it down. And if you'll take the time at the conclusion of your studies each day to just write down, jot down a few things about what you studied, you'll remember it more. But I want you to do it for another reason. I don't know how many times I've come across people and talked to them about Bible study and about Bible reading, and they make a statement something akin to, well, I feel like I try to sit down and I read my Bible every day and I study my Bible every day, but then tomorrow comes and I can't ever remember what I just studied yesterday. That may be true. But I think you'll notice something. And that is, if you'll start doing this, and you'll keep a journal every day, you'll start flipping back through that journal after a couple or 3 months. And looking at the things that you read and the things that you wrote down, you'll say, hey, I remember reading that. I remember studying that. Or maybe you write down a question that you had and you come back 3 months later and you say, hey, I've already found the answer to that question. I know that now. I understand that now. If you'll do it every single day, you'll see an impact. You will see a difference, and you will be able to better focus what it is. Now, you can study in many different ways. It may be studies of specific words in Scripture. It may be studies of different books of the Bible. It may be studies of different people in the Bible. It may be that for it to work best for you, you need to go get a Bible study booklet and follow that on a daily or on a basis and go through some of the good books that our brethren have put out. If so, fine, do it. Whatever makes it best for you to be able to study and understand God's Word more, but do it every day. It may be that on certain days, such as Sunday, your studies are done in the assembly of the congregation. Maybe you don't have the time or aren't able to take the time to study at home on your own on a particular Sunday or something along those lines. Fine. Write in something from the services. Write in something from the Bible classes or from the sermon that you studied that stuck in your mind that you want to be sure you remember, but something to satisfy your personal interaction in your studies on each day. If we're going to grow personally, that means we have to spend time in God's Word. David would make the statement, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." It can't be our meditation all the day if the only time we open our Bibles are Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Can't be. We need to spend time in God's Word every single day. I want to challenge you to commit to that this year. Secondly, we don't just need to grow personally. Because, yes, that helps us. But that doesn't necessarily help anybody else. In order for us to face the challenges that we are going to face in the future, both on an individual basis and on a congregational level, we need to not just be ones who grow personally, but we need to grow congregationally as well. Well, what do you mean by that? By growing congregationally, I mean that we need to be ones who are focused on growing in our relationships and in our understanding and our love for one another on a personal level within the congregation. Within the scope of the people that we see and that we interact with on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis. When you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, there the writer of the book to the Hebrew Christians makes the statement in verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." The word there, consider, as we've talked about on occasions before, means to fix your eyes upon, to set your eyes upon. We are to be ones, as members of the body of Christ, who focus on one another, that we set our eyes on one another to try to help and to improve and to encourage one another. And that's not just the preacher's responsibility to the members or one family within that family. It is our responsibility as the family of God to look at and to try to take care of and to encourage and to improve our relationships with one another the same as we would within our own families. Paul would make the statement to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." If we're going to be the kind of people that God expects us to be, we have to be ones who aren't self-centered. We have to be ones that, yes, we are interested and we want to grow personally, but we're not just focused on ourselves, because if we're only focused on ourselves, we're losing the battle. We have to be ones who are constantly and consistently focused on one another as well. We have a great group of people in this congregation. But the fellowship and the relationships that we have in this congregation should never be stagnant. There's always room for growth. There's always room for improvement. There is always room to heighten and to better our love and our interaction with one another. As we strive to focus our efforts in 2012, here's our focus, or here's what I want to be our focus. When it comes to our congregational growth, I'd like to ask each individual and each family. Now again, I'll leave this up to the family. If mom and dad want to each do this individually, fine. If you want to do it as a family, do it as a group, great. Each individual, each family within this congregation, each month, select another individual or family that you're going to focus on for the month. That you are going to make a personal, committed impact on their lives. Now, that can be done in any number of ways. It may be that that is accomplished through encouragement. Maybe it's a phone call, maybe it's a card, maybe it's a visit. Maybe it's you make a focused effort to make sure no matter what happens, you speak to that individual at every service. Telling them that you love them and that you care about them and that you're thankful for them and for all that they do. But each month, select an individual or a family that you're going to focus on. Maybe it's in the area of fellowship. Maybe you invite them over for dinner or invite them to go out to dinner somewhere for you. Maybe it's interacting in a common interest with those individuals or with that individual. But taking the time to focus, to fix our eyes on one another, and to be able to consider one another to love and to good works. It's frustrating sometimes when it seems the only interaction we have with one another, it comes when somebody's died, or when somebody's sick, or when somebody's hurting, or when somebody's in trouble. We need to be ones who focus on one another when times are good just as much as we do when times are bad. And so, to help us to be able to do this, you'll find sitting on the table out there in the foyer next to the door, a sheet that I've put together, and I'll get the right one in a second. A sheet that I've put together for this particular challenge that I'd like you to pick up. Take home with you, put it somewhere where you'll see it continuously. It may go on your refrigerator, it may go on the mirror in your bathroom. You may put it at the head of your bed just so you see it every night before you go to sleep. But take one home with you. For each month, write in a different person or family member that you are going to focus your efforts on each month of the year. That you're going to try to get to know better. that you're going to try to encourage. Maybe it's an individual or a family who's struggling with being what they should be as a Christian. Maybe it's someone who's going through some trials and some struggles in life. Maybe it's someone who's doing just fine spiritually and you just want to tell them how much you love them and how much you care about them and spend time with them that month. Whatever it may be. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Doesn't have to be anything expensive or extravagant. But you don't know how much of an impact, how much of an effect, and how much of a reaction you'll get positively if you'll take the time to focus on bettering and encouraging someone in their life. We need to be ones who grow congregationally. But friends, I want to be very clear about something. When it comes to this challenge, this needs to be done in addition to our normal work for the sick and for the shut-ins. Those are our responsibilities as members of the congregation collectively. We are to care for one another in times where we're sick or shut-in or in times of loss and of grief and of pain. I want you to select somebody outside of those things. Not because of those things that you want to focus on. Now, yes, maybe the individual that you pick is somebody who is shut in. But don't pick them for that reason or for that reason alone. Set your mind on somebody, set your sights on somebody to show them how much you love them, how much you appreciate them, and how much you want them to continue to do what's right. And how much you're thankful for them. If we're going to grow congregationally, it requires taking the time to focus on one another. Individuals who don't spend time together, who do not focus on one another, who do not perceptibly care about one another outside of a time when somebody dies or is in the hospital, aren't going to grow the way that they should because they don't have the relationship that they should. Take the time to focus on one another. Each month. No, it doesn't have to be every day. But maybe every week you send a card. You give a call. You speak to them and make a special effort to talk to them at services. You try to find something to do with them or invite them over to your house. But make them the focus for a month. Third challenge. We need to grow personally, yes. We need to grow congregationally, yes. But in order for us to be what God wants us to be, we need to focus on growing evangelistically as well. We need to grow in our outreach to our community. We need to grow in speaking and in talking and in studying with those who are not members of the body of Christ. Without a doubt, one of the areas that we must always be focused on as members of the body of Christ, and yet oftentimes we fall short on the most, is evangelism. Reaching out to those that we know, and this is not a statement concerning you anymore, that it's a statement concerning me. We're all in this together. But Jesus would make the statement in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We often talk about the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Go and there and teach all nations. But oftentimes we look globally and miss locally. Our greatest responsibility is right here in Belmont, Mississippi. Our greatest responsibility is with our friends and with our family and with our loved ones and with our co-workers. And with our neighbors. Each of us has an equal obligation and an equal responsibility. It has become the custom in the United States, for whatever reason, in many places, that evangelizing is the preacher's job. It's not. It's the job of every individual Christian to proclaim the gospel of Christ. You turn over to Acts chapter 8 and you read there those first four verses, and as Saul is making havoc of the church, verse 3, they were scattered abroad, verse 4, and went everywhere preaching the word. All except for the apostles who stayed in Jerusalem. It was the members of the church at Jerusalem who went everywhere preaching the word. They went throughout their communities. They went throughout the land of Judea. They went throughout the land of Samaria. They went throughout the other countries of the world proclaiming the gospel of Christ. And they didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles. They went by foot and by donkey and by cart. But they went everywhere preaching the word. You look in Acts chapter 18 concerning two individual Christians who will take aside, beginning in verse 24, a young man by the name of Apollos. And Aquila and Priscilla will take him, and he only knows the baptism of John, and they'll take him and they'll explain to him the way of God more perfectly. And he will be obedient and will begin proclaiming the gospel of Christ. You see, the proclamation of the gospel is not just for the preacher. It's for all of us. We all have an obligation. So here's my challenge to you. When it comes to growing evangelistically this year, it's going to sound familiar, probably. But each month, every individual or family, I would like you to focus on presenting the gospel with a non-Christian. Pick out one individual each month that you are going to share the gospel with. Now, that could be in any number of ways. We have a DVD rack back there that is filled with excellent material that can teach on any number of topics and any number of Bible discussions that an individual might be interested in or might need. And yet, the DVDs are just sitting there. Take them and give them to a friend or to a loved one. It might be inviting that individual to our services. It might be inviting that individual to sit down and have a Bible study. Let me tell you something. If every night of every day of every month I had Bible studies to do and I was busy in those things and you were willing to do them with me, I'd be the happiest man on earth. But that's not going to happen if we don't ever talk to anybody. That's not going to happen if we don't ever ask the question. We have to be those who are willing to get out and to talk to others. I don't know how many times I've heard the accounts of individuals who have become obedient to the gospel because somebody took the time and took the interest to focus on them. And that's all I'm asking. You find one person each month that's not a member of the church. It may be a family member, it may be a friend, it may be a neighbor, it may be a co-worker. They may not even live in this community. Find somebody that you are going to commit yourself to talking to about the gospel of Christ. And if you say, ask them if they want to have a Bible study and they say yes, you come and you don't feel comfortable doing it yourself, come to me. I will be more than happy to help. If you need information, if they ask questions that you're not sure what the answer is, I'll be more than happy to help in any way that I can. We have so much literature and so many things at our fingertips, and it may just be in the course of casual conversation. And as we talked about with growing congregationally, it doesn't mean you have to have contact with them every single day. But you need to focus some effort on them throughout the month. They'll notice. You know what? They may even ask you, why has it become so important to you all of a sudden? You know what you say? Because I love you. I care about your soul. I want you to be right with God, and I have made it my mission for this month to talk to you about what God's Word says. Yes, some may not like it. Some may get upset. But you'd be surprised how many would be flattered by the fact that you cared enough about them to talk to them about it and to focus on them with it. And it may be that some of the things and some of your discussions and interactions, depending on the individual, may last more than a month. That's fine. But find someone each month. And yes, there's another list in the back. Pick one up. Take one home. Write down every month somebody you know who's not a Christian that you're going to make your emphasis. Somebody says, this is just ridiculous. What is this going to do? What kind of an impact is this? Could this possibly have other than to make people mad at me and not like me anymore? Well, you know what? People didn't like the Lord very much at various times. Jesus made the statement, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men... By the way, deny just doesn't mean saying you don't believe in Christ. It's a refusal to talk about what the Bible says. Because by our words, we're saying it's not that important. By our lifestyle, we're saying it doesn't really matter that there's people lost. Friends, let me tell you. 99% of the people around us are not in a right relationship with God right now. We often look at it and we often think about it and we talk about how so-and-so's such a good fella and how so-and-so's a good old boy. But right now, so-and-so's not right with God. What are we going to do about it? Somebody says, well, these things will never work. These things will never have an impact. You know what? Maybe not. But I want you to look at what difference it can make. Let's go back to growing personally. Somebody says, well, if I keep this journal and if I read, what difference is it going to make? Well, you know what? If you don't put your heart into it, it won't make any difference. I could just about guarantee you that. But if you commit yourself for 20 minutes a day, 7 days a week, throughout the course of this year, to spend time in God's Word, by the time you get to the end of this year, you will have spent at bare minimum, and it will actually be much more if you include service times and everything else, you will have spent a bare minimum of 121 hours studying God's Word. Now friends, if you can't learn anything after spending 121 hours looking at it, you're not looking hard enough. 121 hours. Now that's the bare minimum. If you study 30 minutes a day, you can add a lot more hours to that. If you include the times that you're here at services and the times that you're here for the Tuesday night open Bible study and the Wednesday night Bible classes and the other events that we have throughout the year, you'll add a lot more hours. Bare minimum, 121 hours. In God's Word. Is that too much? I'd say it's just a start. Somebody says, well, yeah, but this focusing on one another, it's just not for me. Our relationships are important. Relationships with our family are important. Our relationships with our friends are important. Our relationship with God is of the utmost importance. And let me show you something. If each family in this congregation will, for the next 12 months, focus on a different family each month as their Christian encouragement, by the time this year is over, every Christian will have had an intimate, interactive impact with another from over half the congregation. And that's only the ones they've reached out to. That wouldn't include the ones who've reached out to them. And by the way, if you wanted to take it a step further, that's great. If you wanted to pick out two, you could cover the entire congregation this year as a means of focus and impact. Now you tell me how spending time with your brethren and how focusing on them and loving them and encouraging them is going to somehow not benefit you in the course of this year. Because I'd love to hear it. What about evangelistically? Nobody will ever listen to me. Nobody cares what I say or how I present things. I couldn't ever do this. Yes, you can. There is not anybody who cannot share the gospel of Christ. Oh, it may be through different ways and through different means, but there's nobody who is not able. And let me tell you something. If every family in this congregation selects one person each month to reach out to with the gospel of Christ, by the time this year is over, we will have reached out to bare minimum 300 different individuals in our community and in our area. You're telling me that with 300 people, we won't have an impact? There won't be an effect on the lives of individuals around us if each of us are willing to commit to taking those steps? Friends, if we focus ourselves, if we challenge ourselves, and if we commit ourselves and are willing to do our part, our efforts will never be fruitless. What is it that the parable of the sower teaches? The sower went forth to sow, and yes, you're going to have times where you get that stony ground or where you get that thorny ground or that wayside ground, but you're also going to find that good ground and it's going to come forth in abundance. But friends, if we never throw out the seed, there's never going to be anything that grows. What is it that Paul said? And I'll leave you with this as we close down. What is it that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Oftentimes when it comes to our evangelistic efforts and our efforts with one another, we focus on ourselves. How can I do this? How is it that Jesus put it? With God, all things are possible. Paul would go on to say in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You are God's building. What impact is it going to have? You know what? I can't say. I don't know if anybody will be converted over the next year. If every individual does it, and only one person is converted, it will be worth every minute of every day that was spent in that effort. If nobody is converted, but we grow in our love and in our work with one another and in our appreciation for one another and our stability with one another, every bit of our effort to grow congregationally will be worth it. If we spend the time to study God's Word and all we gain is knowledge and understanding and an ability to serve God better, it's been worth every minute of the time that we've spent. I can't answer exactly what all of the impacts will be over the course of the year, but I can tell you this. If you want to know what's going to happen if we don't do it, look around you. Because the people that you see here today, right now, will be the exact same people you will see here this time next year, and there will be no change unless somebody dies. Do we really want to grow? If so, it's going to take every single one of us. It's going to take our time. It's going to take our blood, our sweat, and our tears. Are you willing to make the commitment with me? My wife and I have been talking already about the different ways we intend to implement every single one of these things in our lives throughout this year. I'm not asking you to do anything we will not be doing ourselves throughout the course of this year. Will you join us in committing yourself to these challenges that I pray and I hope are just the first steps? But you know, that first step has to be taken somewhere. Studies have shown that it takes people, most people, 30 days to make something a habit. When it comes to your own personal study, will you commit to 30 days? Don't necessarily look at it from the course of the whole year. Take it 30 days at a time and commit yourself to it. 1 month at a time to your efforts with your brethren and with those outside. And if you start getting frustrated and if you start getting discouraged, talk to somebody. Don't let it eat you alive. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, I recognize this sermon is not geared toward you. God's invitation is always open. And the greatest thing that an individual can do in their lives is to submit themselves to God and be obedient to Him. Would you do that this morning? Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ before men, and to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've brought reproach upon the church. Will you come back? Repenting of your sins, praying to God for forgiveness of those sins, allowing us to pray with you and for you. If we can assist you in any way this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?